This is Scale to Fit, fitting your 50s. Restarting exercising and feeling like a rookie at the age of over 50. With Marco Lindgren.
Let's say it out loud. You don't need any special gear or equipment to get out of the door and take your first walks. It is enough that your shoes fit and your clothes are warm enough to keep you comfortable. However, as your fondness for walking and moving grows, you walk more often and for longer distances. It's time to take a look at what you are wearing. Not that it would be a fashion statement, but because the wrong kind of gear might cause all sorts of problems over time. Today I'm talking about what gear you actually need for your walking and even when you are thinking of graduating to running. In addition to the useful equipment, I will help you figure out what gear is just nice to have and what would be a complete waste of money, even though some fitness influencers might try to convince you otherwise. And yes, those excellent and expensive running shoes from the last century, they are retired. Let them go. Because when your gear is up to date, it is much easier to follow what I like to say, don't do nothing, do something and scale it back. Shoes are literally your foundation, and for walking, they are the absolute essentials. Do not cheap out on them. Love your knees, ankles, and feet. Invest in proper footwear. The right pair of walking or running shoes can make the difference between feeling like a gazelle or a disgruntled goat. For walking and light jogging, consider looking for shoes with good arch support and cushioning. You want flexibility in the forefoot and support in the heel. I found out that for me, a big enough toe box was crucial. For running, depending on how you strike the ground, you would need impact absorption and a heel-to-toe drop. In both cases, your pronation matters, which refers to how your foot lands and rolls upon impact with the ground. In the case of overpronation, the foot rolls inward too much, and if the foot rolls outward instead of inward, it's called underpronation or supination. If you are unsure about your pronation, it would be a good idea to go to a running store for a gait analysis. I underwent a foot analysis, which revealed that my left foot exhibits overpronation, while my right foot is neutral. So, for me, a pair of bespoke supportive insoles solved that imbalance. And then there is no best walking or running shoe. That super expensive pair of your marathon running colleague swears by just might be giving you blisters the size of a small country's. Everyone's feet are different, everyone's gait is different, and everyone's needs are different. When I started, I had old comfy shoes whose laces I had already replaced once. Later I understood that broken laces are a pretty good telltale that the shoes are already past their prime time. So I bought a new pair of the same brand and model, but I also wanted to try out other brands and models. Some cheaper ones broke down after 100 kilometers or so, and another specifically sold as walking shoes ended up breaking my toenail and giving me corns on my left foot toes. Apparently, the toe box of those shoes was way too tight for me. And now, how do you know if a shoe fits properly even before you have walked kilometers in them and potentially hurt your feet? So here's a quick checklist. You should have about a thumb's width of space between your longest toe and the end of the shoe. And the shoe should feel snug, but not tight around the midfoot. And absolutely your heel shouldn't be slipping out when you walk or run. The shoe should feel comfortable immediately. There is no breaking in period for modern running shoes anymore. And here's another good tip. Try on shoes in the late afternoon or evening when your feet are slightly swollen, just as they'll be during exercise. Your early morning feet and your I've been on them all day feet, in effect, are different sizes. Going to an actual store and getting fitted is not a bad idea at all. The experts in the stores are trained to observe you walking and running and can spot issues you may not even be aware of yourself. Just like my different pronations, many specialty running or general sports stores offer free gait analysis or foot analysis, which is essentially a mini biomechanics lesson for the cost of absolutely nothing.
Yes!
Once you've found a shoe that works for you, it might be a good idea to buy a backup pair. Not that you would need one immediately, but because some shoe companies seem to think that it's hilarious to completely redesign perfectly good shoes for every new season. Finding out that your perfect shoe has been improved into something completely different will set your shoe selection process back to the starting blocks. The next most important gear is socks. With the wrong kind of worn-out socks, you can make your walk a blistering nightmare. Forget cotton socks. They might work for work shoes, but on a proper walk, they'll soak up everything, trap it, and become blister factories. Invest in a few pairs of synthetic or merino wool blend running socks. They stay in place, provide protection in the right places, and keep your feet dry. Yes, they might feel pricey, even ridiculously so, but your feet will thank you. What about other clothing? For sunny days, a worn-out t-shirt and some old shorts will do just fine. When you are just starting out, wear whatever is comfortable and allows freedom of movement. For another kind of weather, and once you start extending your walks or transition to running, cotton becomes your enemy. Cotton holds moisture like my refrigerator holds leftover pasta, forever and somehow getting wetter over time. For tops, look for synthetic fabrics or merino wool that wick moisture away from your body. You don't need expensive brands. There are many perfectly functional options that won't bust your budget. In addition, some reflective details would be excellent for those lovely walks at dusk. For bottoms, find something that doesn't chafe. For some people, that's shorts, for others, it's leggings or joggers. The important thing is that you can move freely and aren't constantly adjusting your clothing. There's nothing worse than spending your entire workout yanking your shorts down or your leggings up. Once you start going longer distances, anti-chafe products are your best friends. There are some dedicated ointments for this purpose, but even plain old Vaseline can save you from the shower scream of pain that comes from chafed skin. For one walk, I wore worn-out sports pants which had lost all the elasticity already. My underwear was made of cotton, bad idea, and the outcome was chafing on both thighs. That was painful and it took weeks to heal. And then a few words about the wild world of running and walking accessories. All those things you absolutely need but can perfectly live without. Let's start with stuff that is actually useful. When you are running outdoors, safety gear matters. Reflective vests or clothing for early morning and evening runs can literally save your life. Similarly, a headlamp for pre-dawn and post-sunset exercise isn't just fancy, it's practical. Even in bigger cities, not all walking or running routes are lit. It's always nice to see where your foot is landing. For half-hour walks or runs in moderate weather, you don't need to carry water. Beyond that, a small handheld water bottle or a running belt with water bottle holders is a suitable option. For longer distances, a hydration vest or a water bladder with a backpack is an excellent choice. I like my backpack water bladder combo so much that I take it with me on all my walks. You can also use the backpack to increase the intensity of your walk by adding some weight to it to accompany your water. This is called trucking and I'll discuss it further in a later episode. And then for the controversial one, do you need a GPS sports watch? No, not really, at least at first. When you're starting out, your smartphone with a free sports app will track everything a beginner needs. For that purpose, a good running belt or armband for your phone is useful. That said, when you do start getting more serious, a basic GPS sports watch eliminates the need to carry your phone and provides real-time data. But be warned, it is highly likely that you will develop a toxic relationship with your step count. I started with my phone, but I got a sports watch soon after. I wanted to have more accurate data on my exercise and track my evolution over a longer period. You know, there is this fitness adage, if you didn't measure it, it didn't happen.
Yes!
As you get more serious about the exercise, weather-specific gear becomes essential. I tend to sweat profusely from my head, so for me, a lightweight running hat is not just for sunny days. On sunny days, proper sunglasses that don't bounce on your face are useful, and a lightweight running jacket for wind and light rain can extend your walking opportunities dramatically. And finally, for cooler days and for winter warriors, proper layering becomes essential. Base layers make cold weather walking and running actually enjoyable. Add gloves, a beanie, and a neck gaiter, and suddenly going out in close to 0 Celsius weather isn't just possible, it's pleasant.
The Good to Know Corner.
Sports watches aren't just cool gadgets, they are actually changing the way we choose sports and how we work out. Let's examine how these wrist-based fitness trackers are transforming our exercise habits. One of the most significant benefits of sports watches is how they boost our motivation. When you can see your heart rate, steps, and calories burned right on your wrist, it makes exercise feel more rewarding. Immediate feedback helps you stay focused on your goals and increases your likelihood of sticking with your workout routine. This motivation boost works best when the watch gives you clear, accurate information that's easy to understand. Seeing your own data and tracking your progress creates a powerful feedback loop that makes exercise feel more meaningful and empowering. Additionally, the data enables you to identify potential health risks and prevent injuries. Sport watches give us a level of precision in our workouts that was previously impossible. Athletes and fitness enthusiasts can fine-tune their training based on real-time feedback. They can make sure they are not overtraining and track their recovery properly. That said, not all watches are equally accurate for all activities. They are typically spot-on for running and walking, but might struggle tracking activities like strength training or swimming. Here's where things get interesting. Sport watches actually influence which activities we choose. People tend to gravitate toward exercises that their watches can measure accurately, such as running, walking, or cycling. These activities produce nice, clean data about distance, pace, and heart rate, which gives us that satisfying feeling of tracking our progress. On the other hand, activities that don't generate neat numbers, such as yoga and team sports, or those with complex movements, often get overlooked. If your watch can't measure it, well, so you might be less motivated to do it. Overall, sports watches have helped increase physical activity among people, particularly in activities that can easily be tracked. Studies show that wearable fitness trackers genuinely increase physical activity levels, with walking, running, and cycling seeing the most significant boosts. Sports watches are undoubtedly enhancing exercise in numerous ways. They help us stay motivated, stick to our routines, and train more effectively, especially when we are engaging in activities that work well with tracking. However, there has also been a clear shift in the choice of sports, with measurable activities winning out over less quantifiable ones. We are increasingly drawn to exercise that produces data driven by the psychological rewards of seeing our progress in numbers and charts. So, indeed, you get what you measure.
The Good to Know Corner.
Let's wrap up with a few unexpected essentials that nobody talks about until you really need them. First, carry some form of ID. Whether it's an ID bracelet or just your driver's license in your pocket, always run with identification. Second, as I mentioned earlier, use Vaseline or anti-chafing stick. Apply it before you think you need it, because once you feel the chafe, it is too late. For post-exercise body care, a foam roller or massage ball can help smooth your muscles when they inevitably revolt against your new hobby. A good laundry detergent specifically designed for synthetic fabric saves your day. Regular washing liquid doesn't remove the funk from technical fabrics. Proper sports detergent will prevent your gear from developing that special "I have been exercising in this for years" aroma. And finally, although I enjoy walking by myself, a support system can make the exercise a lot more fun. Find a friend, join a local running club, or connect with online communities. Having people to share your victories and frustrations with makes a world of difference. So, there you have it. With these essentials, there is no reason to postpone starting a walking or running routine. To recap, invest in good shoes that fit your feet, not what's trending online. Get clothes that don't chafe and that wick moisture away from your body. Add safety gear if you are going out in low light conditions, and consider hydration options for longer sessions. And remember that the most expensive gear in the world won't get you moving, only you can do it.
Weekly challenge.
At the end of the day, walking and running are among the simplest and most accessible forms of exercise, and the right gear keeps it comfortable, injury-free, and just stylish enough to avoid being mistaken for a gym teacher on the run. So, take a close and critical look at your old shoes and then go and find yourself a new pair. Keep moving and be kind to yourself. And remember what I like to say, don't do nothing, do something and scale it back. This was Scale to Fit, Fit in Your 50s with Marko Lindgren. All sounds are made by me. Send us your feedback via email at feedback@scale2.fit or visit podchaser.com/scale2fit to leave a rating. Don't forget to check the show notes at scale2.fit. All the links are there. Thank you for tuning in.